It's not a cartoon. It's anime.
That was great.
Yeah,
you got
to, buddy.
Bro, he cut off his power. We were still powered up.
Oh, yeah.
We straight?
Did we do it?
That's all we need, right?
I was still running around the chair when you stopped powering up.
Still doing laps.
You caught up in study room.
Well, anyway, welcome to another episode of Animation. The squad is somewhat back in the building. You know, got myself, Brennan, Rob.
A little bit.
We got a special guest. No Ice today. He couldn't be here with us, but you know, he'll be here at some point. Back when we come back into the studio next week. We got a special guest though. Sincere. If you don't know who Sincere is Tony Baker's son. He does a lot of editing for Brennan's company, Transit Pictures.
He works with Tahir a lot. Actually,
does a lot of work with Tahir and stuff like that. So you know about him behind the scenes. You probably seen his stuff with Tony because you know he'd be with Tony. That's his son, of course.
Tony Baker,
star of the Cut Through.
The Cut Through. Or if you seen the Cut Through,
he's one of my favorites.
He's also in a lot of Tony Baker's content. Favorite is, I personally believe that Sincere inspired a character of Tony Baker's. Abernathy Nevers is 100% inspired by you.
I don't know.
He literally makes those sounds. He 100% makes those sound effects consistently in the office. I'm always just like, that is your dad.
If you ever heard the joke where Tony, like his son spills something on the table and he just kept coming towards him and he's like, that's
Sincere.
That's me.
And that was my favorite sketch of Sincere is when Tony gets slapped by during Monopoly and it's like, he's like, $2,000. And he's like, and you see Sincere's face go like. But anyways, he's actually finished Jujutsu Kaisen, so I wanted to bring him on to the podcast because I went up to the studio the other day. He said he thought it was fire. He said he finished it in 2 days. He was all in. So we are doing episodes 9 through 12 this week, y'all. I rarely ever say this, but I'm gonna start saying it from now on. Spoilers. If you don't know, and possible spoilers for other shows, because sometimes when we do our questions, we compare it to other shows. So you ever seen those possible spoilers to other shows? So let's get into Rob's recap.
Yes, sir. So episode 9, we start with the mysterious person we met at the end of the last episode. This dude named Junpei, probably pronouncing that wrong, so forgive me. He's just this movie nerd that gets bullied at school. And he headed to the movie theater only to see those same bullies talking over the movie he was hoping to see. But as he sits there just hating them and hating his life, he watches Mahito walk over and kill them, completely deforming their bodies. He chases Mahito into the alleyway, but instead of confronting him about the murders, his only question is like, hey, can you teach me how to do that too? Red flag. So later, Yuji and Kento arrive at the theater before the cops do and try to find, you know, clues about the murders. Kento teaches Yuji how to track residual curse energy. And though Yuji's trying really, really hard to impress Kento, this professional sorcerer is more concerned about just getting the job done. We get a really short flashback where we see Gojo introducing the two of them, saying Kento, he's a first grade sorcerer, trusted ally. And while Gojo is, you know, off doing business, he trusts his friend to take over Yuji's training. And Yuji's super excited, but Kento's like, hey, I'm not a big believer in Gojo's ideals. You know, jujitsu sorcerers are shit, you know, all this kind of stuff. But, you know, he agrees that there needs to be change at the top. So he's going to give Yuji the opportunity to prove that he's useful. Back in the present, the two are, you know, they follow the curse tracks outside, but it leads them into a trap where they're attacked by two deformed curses. And in the fight, we see Kento's abilities to create a weak point on his enemies and exploit it. And he demonstrates it for Yuji, defeating one of the curses without even unwrapping his blade and using the blunt end of it to slice through it. Yuji takes on the other curse, and showing the fruit of his training, he's now able to control his cursed energy in such a way to enhance his physical attacks, making every one of them like hit twice, just like multiplying the damage. This divergent fist technique, he's able to punch a hole through his opponent, but Kento makes a disturbing discovery. He notices a watch on one of the curses and is able to take a photo of it, meaning these actually aren't curses at all, but deformed humans that were created by Mahito. Tough break for these guys. Shoko, the school doctor, confirms this, but because of the transformation, they went into shock and attacked the sorcerers just kind of out of confusion. And it's that same shock that eventually overwhelmed their bodies and killed them, not the damage they took from the fight. But clearly, Yuji still feels guilty about this. You know, and after seeing him fight and seeing how much he cares about others, you know, Kento can see Yuji is the real deal and tries to, you know, perk him back up. He's saying, hey, we need to go all out to figure out, you know, what went down here. So elsewhere, Mahito is teaching Junpei all about the world of curses and how they are created by collected human fear. Sometimes he says if enough people fear something strongly, they can make it real, even if it's just a story like the nine-tailed fox, you know, which we've seen, you know, in other animes and other stories, or monsters from movies. However, they can also fear more abstract things like natural disasters or dangerous places. And those fears gave birth to powerful curses that we've met. Jogo, who represents the earth.
Incredible. I'm sorry, super I just cool. Love that they took the idea, they start you off on the show with the idea talking about curses coming, being born from fear, and then it used very specific types of fears and examples, like we're very small and micro, and now they're like, okay, now that you understand that, you understand this world, here's the real shit. Like, this is the real fears humanity has, and this is what manifests from that. I just thought that was brilliant. Go on.
Yeah, super cool, yeah. So, like I was saying, Jogo, Brennan's background, he represents fear of the earth, like natural disasters, Dagon, who represents the sea, and Hanami, who represents the forest. And Mahito says he represents the fear people have of other people. back with Kento, he's ID'd Junpei on the theater security tapes, and ask Yuji and Kiyotaka to go track him down, see if he might be dangerous. Meanwhile, he is tracked down where Mahito is hiding out and plans to go smoke him out. Next episode starts with Junpei getting bullied by another group of kids, but when he tries to stand up for himself with his newfound confidence, it really just only makes matters worse for the guy. Later, he talks to Mahito about, you know, whether the opposite of love is indifference or hate, and he believes it's hate because, you know, what else would drive people to hurt others, and says indifference is actually what people should be striving for. But Mahito disagrees. He has the ability to see and manipulate people's souls, and by changing the shape of their soul, he can change the shape of the person. And he goes on that all these emotions that people feel are just the results of the soul's metabolism, and in the end, humanity and souls, they're not that special. Because of that, they should feel free to live their lives how they want. And if Junpei feels anger enough to kill somebody, he should, just like a hungry person would want to eat to live. And Mahito is just like, if you want to kill somebody, I fully sanction it. Like, you go right ahead, kid.
I mean, you know what's funny about that concept? He has a point, but not that far.
No.
Like, don't not make, quite. Like, do what you want to do in life, man. Just go for it. But that doesn't include just killing a person because you want to kill somebody. Hey, man, you said I look stupid. I'm going to kill you.
Just dial it back like a few notches. As Junpei walks home, Yuji and Kiyotaka follow him in the car, and they come up with a plan to sic a low-level curse on him just to see how he reacts. And if he has the ability to see or even fight them, then they can react better when they have an idea of what he's capable of. And Kiyotaka says, you know, we should run if he demonstrates the ability of a grade 2 sorcerer. And Yuji's just like, well, I've taken out grade 2 curses. Like, why not a grade 2 sorcerer? And we kind of figure out here, Kiyotaka explains, like, well, the way things are ranked, sorcerers are ranked on the kind of curses they can beat. So actually, a grade 2 sorcerer would be more equal to a grade 1 curse and out of their league. So we get a little bit better understanding of how their ranking system works. Meanwhile, Kento tracks down Mahito in the Tokyo sewers and promises to beat him quickly before he has to punch out and go into overtime. Mahito, however, is no chump and reaches into his stockpile of human bodies that he keeps shrunken and handy, using them as weapons against Kento. And then we go back to Junpei, who's returning home and sees an out-of-touch teacher waiting for him on his doorstep. And he's just like, hey, why haven't you been in school? Like, all your friends miss you, and completely mistaken that these are the bullies that are torturing this kid. And it's enough. Junpei almost murders this dude right then and there, but Yuji jumps in, chasing down that small curse that got away from him. You know, he captures the curse and, you know, wants to question Junpei alone. So to get rid of the teacher, he just, like, pantses the dude and, like, takes off with him. And while Kiyotaka chases after the other curse, you know, that got loose, they Junpei, you know, realizes when he comes back that Yuji is one of these Jujutsu sorcerers, but, you know, agrees to go with him. Back at the fight, Kento is struggling to hit Mahito. And, you know, when he does, it doesn't even seem to hurt him at all, even with his special, like, weakness, you know, finding technique. Making matters worse, Mahito becomes, like, faster and stronger by manipulating his own shape, landing a blow on Kento. And, you know, the only reason he doesn't transform is somehow he subconsciously protected his soul with his cursed energy. But he's like, you know, if I get you a few more times, like, you won't even be human anymore. So Kento's like, all right, might be time for me to go. I'm going to head out. And Mahito thinks he's at his limit. But when the clock hits six, Kento goes into overtime, loosens his tie, instantly increasing his energy and strength. And he explains that his technique doesn't just work on, like, physical objects. You know, it can use on, you know, it can be on living things. It can be on, you know, just objects. And he can also even divide that into time. And, you know, Mahito is thrilled to see, you know, all these kind of powers. Can't wait to experiment on Kento, see what his soul can take. But that same excitement gets him distracted, and he gets caught by surprise when Kento cuts off his legs and buries him under a pile of rubble, allowing him to escape and come back, you know, with some backup another time.
Hold on, Rob. You hear background noise?
I do.
I think that's Brennan over there.
Yeah.
Do you have another room you can go into possibly or no?
I don't, but keep going. I'll figure it out.
Okay.
Okay. Okay, so Yuji tries to basically reach Kiyotaka before he starts questioning Junpei, but can't get a hold of him. So he just comes out and asks him, like, hey, did you see anything weird at the theater the other day? But Junpei says no. He only recently started seeing curses. Yuji seems satisfied, but still wants, you know, to wait until Kiyotaka is able to get there to, you know, answer some questions. In the meantime, the two just start talking about movies, you know, strike up a quick friendship. Despite Junpei recognizing that he's, you know, a Jujutsu sorcerer, possible enemy, you know, they get along, and Geto is watching in the distance, and just, like, everything's going according to plan. Later, Junpei's mom shows up, and she seems friendly enough, even though Junpei is embarrassed by her smoking, and she invites Yuji over to join them for dinner. Geto goes to the sewers after that, finds Mahito slithering out from under some rubble, and, you know, Mahito tells him all about his fight, and, you know, basically, he saw how powerful this dude is, but showing, you know, basically this fight also taught him how to use his abilities stronger. So this dude's only going to get better with every fight that, you know, he's in. Elsewhere, Kiyotaka is, you know, caught. He's caught his curse, but is nervous when Yuji tells him about his plans to eat dinner with their murder suspect. And when he gets a call from Kento, who's patching himself up, you know, he tries to play cool, but accidentally lets it slip that Yuji got separated. And Kento's just like, you know, he's thinking about everything that's been going on, you know, connects Mahito to what's been going on with the attack on Gojo and from the other curses, realizes it's all connected. And it's like, we got to take these guys out before it's too late. So at dinner, you know, Yuji's making both Junpei and mom laugh. You know, they're having a great time. Junpei's mom falls asleep after a few beers, and they're just hanging out. You know, they're going to watch a movie. But before they do, you know, Junpei asks him, like, have you ever killed somebody? And would you ever kill an evil Jujutsu sorcerer? And Yuji says he's never had to and doesn't really plan on it, you know, even if they're a bad person, because he's afraid that, you know, if he starts judging some lives worth killing, then the other lives around him will just start to mean less. You know, he'll lose the worth of a human life. Later alone, Junpei's thinking about that answer, and at least for then is just like, you know what, you're right, I'm not going to seek revenge against my tormentors. However, downstairs, his mom wakes up and finds one of Sukuna's fingers on the table, and a curse that's been drawn in sneaks up behind her, and we hear in voiceover that she's killed. Mahito explains to Junpei, you know, what the finger is and how it must have been placed there by some enemy of his, and with that, Junpei's need for revenge, like, immediately comes back. Kento, meanwhile, goes out to fight Mahito, and Yuji, you know, seeing he was injured, begs to be taken along. But Kento's like, it's too dangerous. You know, you're going to have to take a certain life, a human life, if you keep this job. But, you know, today's not that day. You know, just the way Mahito fights, you know, you're going to have to kill somebody. So he's just trying to spare the kid for now. Junpei, meanwhile, all dressed in black, walks to school, you know, as one of his bully accepts an award at a school gathering. And outside, Geto and Mahito are putting a veil over the school, knowing, you know, it's going to attract Jujutsu sorcerers. But most of all, they hope it brings Yuji. Geto leaves, believing Mahito can handle things from there, while back inside, Junpei just starts his attack. He puts all the students to sleep, except for the bully and that out-of-touch teacher, and confronts them both, revealing the cigarette burn scars that he's been hiding with his hair. And asks the bully, if he's the one that left the finger in his home. But of course, the bully has no idea what he's talking about. Junpei doesn't care, though, and uses his new curse techniques to poison the boy and beat him bloody. And as he's hoisting him up in the air, that's exactly when Yuji bursts in the room, seeing that Junpei's like jellyfish curse is floating behind him. And he's just like, hey, man, stay out of this. In a small flashback, Yuji calls Kento after finding out about the veil over the school, and he wants to go, but Kento's like, just wait. He's like trying to get rid of some of Mahito's like curses in the underground with his backup. And he, of course, doesn't listen. Kiyotaka is just like, hey, man, stay. Of course, he doesn't listen. He goes and Kento tells his buddy like, hey, man, take care of this. Finish this off. I gotta go. At the school, Yuji and Junpei are fighting. But he can't break through the defense that the jellyfish, curse provides him. All the while, they're continuing to debate, if the lives are even worth saving. And Junpei wraps up Yuji in one of his poison techniques. And we see that he got some training from Mahito, but, Yuji's just too strong for the poison to take effect. And he's actually able to land a few hits on his former friend. And he tells him, everybody's got hearts worth saving. But Junpei, he refuses to believe that. He breaks down, explaining if that's true, that means that the people that have wronged him and his mom and his family did so with those same hearts. And he can't handle that. And with that, he tries to stab Yuji. But Yuji, he's trying to show him, there's mercy out there. He refuses to continue fighting even after taking that hit and, tries to ask him what happened. And, he tells him all about his mom. And Yuji's just like, damn, come to Jujutsu High. You'll find lots of support and people like you. We can fight together. But before he can answer, Mahito arrives. And the curse traps Yuji against the wall and tells Junpei he's a fool for trusting him and transforms him into this monstrous form, telling him to attack Yuji. And Yuji's just horrified, refusing to fight back, begging Sukuna to heal his friend, saying he'll give anything. But the curse refuses and, just laughing with Mahito. But this Mahito on a sidebar just realizes, hey, this probably means Sukuna just can't do it. But, he's just torturing the kid. Slowly, though, Junpei runs out of energy, collapses dead on the ground, and Yuji just fucking snaps. In a rage, he just starts pummeling Mahito, like promising he's going to kill this dude. To Mahito's surprise, Yuji's attacks are actually
very
able.
Hunter vibe with Gon, I'll say that.
Gotcha.
Like
not as gangster, but almost, yeah.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, like, the vibe of it, like, how he was like, I'm going to kill you, the way he said it, I was like, the closest I've seen to that was how Gon said it to Patu, or whatever her name was.
And the art right there was crazy.
Yeah, that was crazy.
I loved that.
Very cool. To Mahito's surprise, Yuji's attacks, they're actually able to hit his soul, damaging him. But, he still hopes to force Yuji into some sort of desperate fight. So he's, lets Sukuna take control. And he's changing all his shapes. His limbs are becoming weapons, almost kind of looked a little bit like the Parasite show we watched. But there was, there are others that, could be intimidated. Yuji buckles in and takes the damage while continuing to attack the curse. However, Mahito is eventually able to impale Yuji on some spikes in close combat and uses the opportunity to try to reshape his soul. But when he reaches in, Sukuna's in there waiting, and he rejects the attack, telling Mahito, listen, we had a good laugh about a minute ago, but you better know your place.
I loved it.
It's enough time for Yuji to regain his composure and counterattack, headbutting and kicking Mahito's face in. But before he can finish him off, Mahito turns his arm into a giant club and nearly drops it down on Yuji's head. But lucky for him, Kento arrives just in time to save Yuji. Yuji catches him up on everything that happened. And when he realizes Yuji's attacks can actually damage Mahito, he's like, all right, it's time for us to team up. We're going to take this guy down together and finish this once and for all. And that's what we'll pick up next time.
Oh, I'm excited because the next episode is Fight Back! Yeah. I already know it's coming. They setting it up for
it. It has to be.
I almost watched it too. Oh. I almost watched it, but I was just too tired.
I was this close. Rob wanted to. I talked to Rob after he saw it. Rob was just like, I am ready for the next episode.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. And I feel like I'll talk about that in my little spat thing. But thank you, Rob, always for the Rob recaps. Always great as always. Precise, tight. Sure. Loving it. So this is the question portion of the show.
Is I.
That's the bread keeping people humble. The question portion of the show. So let's get into it, man. This show, just now you can see on the show, is it's not just about like just regular curses. People could be cursed and stuff like that. Do you believe that someone can be cursed in real life? Do you think curses are real? And do you think somebody can be cursed in real life? Yes. I have people from, I have people that I grew up with from other cultures. I definitely want to hear Brennan's answer because he's been to a lot of other cultures outside the country. So I want to hear his answer. But I've just seen some things that just didn't seem normal. As far as I can really explain it, to be honest, it just wasn't normal. I wouldn't cross anybody that dabbles in that world. Me personally, I wouldn't cross anybody that dabbles in that world in a way. So I do. I don't know to what extent. I don't know if it's like, of course, like how this is. Of course, like you can just transform somebody's body and shit like that. But I do think that we were always told as kids, yeah, don't eat the spaghetti from a lady, man. They be dropping that menstrual cycle up in there, and they can just turn you into a love bot. And you be sitting there zombied out.
I have never heard anything like that before.
You've never heard that before.
What was that movie that just came out? Summer's Eve or like Midsummer, whatever.
Midsummer. That shit was wild.
That shit was crazy.
When I was a kid, my mom always told me, like, if you date a girl from the islands, don't ever eat her spaghetti because they put their menstrual cycle in the spaghetti, and it pretty much it can mess you up and pretty much have you like in a spell to where you're like you're just doing like a you're a love slave pretty much. I'm gonna get the Brennan's later. Go ahead, Rob.
I don't know. I've never seen anything like that.
I'm saying that because Brennan, I know you probably have more stories or something. I don't want somebody to have to follow you. That probably.
Fair enough. No, I certainly know some people that have felt like if they didn't have bad luck, they'd have no luck at all. I certainly know some people like that. The only person that I know that's just like I might have been cursed is actually Andrea's dad will not eat shrimp. He used to love shrimp, said he dated some girl like that, identified as a witch or something like that. And when they broke up, she was just like, all right, like you're going to see. And now he's just like, every time I eat shrimp, I get so sick. So he thinks that he was cursed by this girl. And it's the family legend that he got cursed and he can't eat shrimp anymore. So, maybe there's something out there. Maybe there's something to that.
Sincere.
I probably think curses exist in real life. I mean, like, I don't think it's straight up, definitely not to the extent of this show where they like manifest, but we just can't see it. I just think like probably falls in the same line as like karma, like other cultures believe in like that karma stuff where it's like you put that negative out there, it's going to show up somewhere else. So I just think it falls in line with that pretty much. I mean, I don't have any experience with getting cursed or any supernatural experience with it.
Do you believe in karma or no?
I believe in karma.
He's like, maybe.
I mean, like, if you put that negative out there, it's gonna show. Like, it's just like people reap what they sow.
Sure, I can see that,
Brennan.
Actually, I'm gonna piggyback off of what Sincere said, in the sense of that I personally, like, you can't tell me that you've never met a person that gave you a weird feeling that was just negative. You can't tell me you haven't met somebody who seems like they just have a dark cloud that follows them wherever they go.
Man.
I believe that, energy is everything. And so in vibes, like I was saying, that vibe you get from somebody is, for me, a transference of energy. And that vibe that you're giving off, that transference of energy goes into the karma because, energy can't be created or stored, only transferred. And for every action, there's a reaction. So if you're putting out a negative vibe, which means that those vibes are coming from you and transferred out into the universe, there has to be a reaction from that. And so for me, that can be perceived as being cursed, is that no matter what you do, no matter what you try to do, no matter what's going on, it always just ends up poorly. The way you perceive it is poor. The way that people perceive you is poor. I've seen people like that. And to speak to what Keenan said, and I think that base concept is expressed in so many different like languages, cultures, and just like things. And so for me, honestly, I really don't know much about like witch doctors and like that kind of stuff. Like you actually just, I've almost never heard anything like that. Like most of the people I've been around is like, yo, check out these crystals or whatever, or sacred geometry, like that kind of shit. Like, but when I travel, it's like, I'll encounter other religions and stuff, but most of the time, what you'll see, what I've been able to find is that a lot of it's based in ritual and ceremony, what I'm saying? So it's not like, you don't really get into the negative stuff until when you first are introduced into a culture. They're normally like, let's show us your best thing. So I don't know too much about the negative side because I haven't spent enough time living somewhere else to be like, okay, cool, you done broke somebody's heart. Now you about to catch this wicked, you know, spaghetti or shrimp or some shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, I haven't been there yet, but I will say I agree with Sincere that, you know, what we put out is what we get, and there is more to that than I think our science and even sometimes a lot of our religions explain. It's just like, just take it to baseline energy transference is the way that I like to look at it and say that, yeah, some people really do put out negativity and, you know, that could be seemingly be a curse on them. And yeah, I'd call it that.
Yeah. You ever seen the movie Thinner? Have you ever seen that movie before, boy? Yeah, that shit is wild. And I agree with this is the last thing to say. I definitely agree. When you ever meet, have you ever seen somebody and met somebody that had negative energy, and then they meet somebody that was cool, and all of a sudden that person just started getting a bunch of bad luck? It's kind of like what you said, that energy kind of transfers. It's like, damn, I've dated somebody. I was just like, I was going good before I met your ass. Like, life was great. All right, next question. We talked about earlier about these humans being transformed, man. Do you think those transformed people that Yuji and Kenzo fought really died from shock? And if they didn't, do you think Yuji should feel guilty about it or having to kill these people at some point? Rob?
Listen, I think the doctor was just trying to, you know, I think she was just trying to calm Yuji down. I mean, he punched a hole through that dude. And when they cut to that dude, he was sitting there like, like, you punched a hole through me. And like, Kento cut that dude's like limbs off. They 100% killed those people. Like Junpei, maybe he probably died from shock because like he didn't even take a hit. But like those two dudes, they killed them. Like that happened. Now, I don't think you should feel guilty about that. Like they were transformed. They were monstrous. There's no way they could be able to be transformed back. Right. And they were, it was in a, you know, life or death situation. If they hadn't done that to them, those people would have had no problem ending their lives either. So, you know, they did what they had to do. You know, I feel bad that Yuji feels bad, but he did what he had to do in the line of duty.
Brennan?
I'm a big believer in that. If you're going to eat meat, you should be willing to kill it. And I think that's like a really good way to look at what Rob just said, is that I fully agree with everything Rob said. Like, they're just telling them something they need to hear so that they can do their job. Like, that doctor knows for a fact. Like, if they knew a way to reverse that process of what he was doing to them, then there would be a whole different conversation. But let's keep it real. Like, they're just now being introduced to this process for people for the first time right now. And it's a couple facts that are right in front of them. Number one, they are literally look like monsters. Number two, they attack us immediately upon seeing us. And number three, we don't know how to fix it. So they're dangerous to us and others, and they're no longer able to be human again. So what else do you do? You can't capture them. You should kill them. You know, it's like that's the only two options. And capture doesn't seem to be too possible for things that big and powerful. They haven't even shown a way of capturing things yet in the show. So I'd say that I fully agree. Like, this is, you know, absolute, like, tell you what you need to hear because it's necessary to get these things done and you can deal with your emotions later kind of situation.
Sincere?
Yeah. So like, I don't know if they like killed them. I mean, probably Kento killed the limbs chopping off, but you know, yeah. that other spirit that Yuji punched was still kind of alive. So I don't know if like they killed him. But I definitely don't think that Yuji should feel like as guilty as he does, because like, as Brennan said, like, you know, there's no way, like there was no other way besides capturing. And like, that didn't seem to be a possibility in that moment. So it's like, he shouldn't feel as guilty, but I can definitely see why he would feel guilty, just because like they once were humans and, you know, it's just, I mean, that's his job now. That's what he has to do. And he has to come to terms with that.
Yo, I just want to point out real quick, this is by far the most I've ever seen Sincere speak. I've worked with this brother for years now. that right there, that amount of words that he just said might accumulate as many words as I've ever heard him say in my life. I just want to point that out. Yo, you are doing your thing out here, Sincere. Thank you for contributing to today. Because I had no idea. No problem. I had no idea.
I mean, I pretty much overall agree with what y'all said. My thing is, when I watch all this anime or even in real life, it's like when you get into a job where you know you have to physically harm somebody, death has to always, you have to always accept that this can happen. And that always kind of like, not that this thing bothers me, But if this is me, it's like, damn, people are human. But it's like, as soon as I accepted this, I'm in. Like, it's like, I already know this is a consequence of what I might have to do. So I don't think he should necessarily feel bad. Like you said, it's like, for everything which I said, it's like, at the end of the day, these people right now, there's no reverse. There's no turning these people back to human. There's nothing like that. If there's like, yo, we could possibly save you, then cool. Other than that, I'm like, hey, man, you know, be a quarterback. Short-term memory, man. Kill him, get him out. next one, bro. Get to the next one. At the end of the day, it's like, it's my life or yours. And when it comes down to something like that, and there's no reverse to help you out, hey, man, I'm picking me every single time.
Yeah, everybody's told him this is a dirty job.
Yeah, and he's like, now you would be like, well, wait a second, man, shut your ass up, man. All right, next question. So they're talking about, like, there's a he wanted what's the name again? The kid with the hair over his face, cigarette.
Oh, Junpei, something like that.
Junpei, yeah. He was talking about, like, you know, he wanted to have the power of, like, being able to, you know, pretty much kill everybody that, you know, that he hated. If you had that power, would you push the button to kill everybody you hate or kill everyone who hates you? Brennan, this is Brennan's question. Go ahead, Brennan.
I think this is an easy answer, personally. I'd rather kill people who hate me. And the simple logic behind that is that it's way better to deal with the devil that you know. And so for me, I'm just like, if you hate me and I'm not aware of that, that could be super detrimental to my future in a horrible way. It's almost kind of like the way, I'm just saying, it's almost kind of like the way they compare racism in the North and the South. Like, I think I read this in Malcolm X's book, where he said, you know, racism in the South is like a wolf, because it'll attack you in packs. They'll show up to your face and let you know. They'll show you their teeth. But in the North, it's like the fox. It'll bite you in the back of your neck when you're sleeping. And that's like way worse, because you had no idea it was coming. So for me, I'll take the wolves. Like, I want to know they're there. I want to be able to identify them and plan accordingly. If you hate me, really, truly hate me and wish bad upon me and are in some way associated with me, then I would rather you die. Like, damn, I did not expect Keenan to die today, but wow, that's crazy. That's crazy. I had no idea so much ill will was had towards me. I'm really saddened by that, but I'm really happy that someone who's dead and had bad intentions towards me, I wasn't aware of, is gone. I'll take that.
Well, that was why I was laughing so hard, because I was like, what if Brennan walked into transit on Monday and just like, hey, where's everybody?
First of all, thank you. That depiction of my voice. First of all, let's just start there.
Thanks, everybody.
Look, I feel like I've already taken enough L's today, Keenan. I've already taken enough L's, and I will be taking more L's, but it doesn't matter. All I'll say is that that was a horrible voice. I don't like it.
Bro, I just want to see Brennan like call Tony Valentino. Like, hey, Maya, have you seen me here from Tony all day? He just disappeared out of nowhere. Okay, where about
that's Robbie? Weird.
And Dre, we told you wrong. Hey, man, to answer the question, would I push the button to kill everybody I hate? Nah, I don't think it's ever that serious to me. This is a hard question because
I'm press the button for one of the two.
Yeah, I know, exactly. And that's what I was getting towards. This is very hard for me to answer, but I guess it would be, to kill everybody that hates me too, just because, I mean, I don't care that much to want to kill anybody that hates me, but I also know that so many people will mess up opportunities for you. They will possibly mess up your life. If I did walk at the transit on Monday and Brennan was gone, bro, I'd be like, huh.
I'd like to just point out that Rob, I can just tell by Rob's face and the way he's moving around, he completely disagrees with us. And he's going to have a really good argument. Like, there'd be a lot of politicians dead. There'd be a lot of, I just see government leaders are going to be dead. I already can tell. He completely disagrees with both of us right now. It is very obvious to me.
Okay, that's just my answer right there. We're going to sincere first, then we'll hit Rob. I feel like Rob's going to have something great to say. Go ahead.
I don't know.
I mean, like, yeah, like, so when I first, you know, looked at this, I would go with, like, the people that hated me, just because, like, you know, ideally, I would not click either of the buttons, because I wouldn't want to see people, you know, die like that, you know?
Too bad, sincere.
Yeah, so if I have to choose, then it would have to be those who hate me, because it's just, like, I mean, as both of you said, like, it's just, you know, more advantageous. You know, it's, like, it's better for myself. If, yo, you know,
Rob is about to destroy all of us, bro.
I want to see what Rob has to say.
Yeah, I know,
real
right?
Quick, real quick. This is how I see sincere pushing the button.
Yeah, that would be such a struggle, you know? It would be so, I don't know, bro. Like, because you're ending people's lives. Ending people's lives. One push.
Look, all I say is when we play Super Smash Brothers with the Office of Sincere, this brother in the last life will not breathe or blink. For either one, and this is a video game. Imagine what you'd be like dealing with people's lives.
You know, bro, that's different. You respawn. You got three lives. Come on. Work with me.
All right, Rob, the floor is yours.
I mean, I don't know if I'm going to blow anybody away here, but and maybe I'm just a little bit too much on some Light Yagami shit. I'm not sure, but like,
yep, I knew it.
If I hate you, I feel like you deserve that. Like, I don't hate a lot of people. I don't even think I hate anybody I know. Like, there are some people out there that I'm like, I hate this dude, and I would be so much happier if they were not in this world. Honestly, if some people hate me, maybe I deserve that shit. I don't know. And you
there's,
know,
there's a hey, kid. There's a kid that got hit in the head with a frisbee long ago.
But like, at the same time, like, you know, if I still got enemies out there, you know, that'll keep me on my toes. You know, that'll keep me sharp. You know, I want to make sure that, you know, I still got people out there keeping me
I
honest.
I don't know who Rob hates. That's what I want to know. I want to know who Rob hates.
I mean, that's the thing. Like, give me the button and you'll find out.
Hey, Brennan.
He said he doesn't hate anybody he knows.
No. You know what's funny? Here's the difference between Sincere pushing the button and Rob pushing the button. This is Sincere. This is, here's Rob. Oh, you're fucking dead.
Yeah. Boom. Well, I'm not in that one. Boom.
You're dead, motherfucker. Yeah.
Oh, that's a weight off my shoulders.
Yeah, exactly.
I feel like I could pick at least two people on Rob's list, but I'm going to leave it alone.
All right.
You think I could pick two people on your list, Rob?
I think you could. You could probably pick two people on my list. It wouldn't be too hard.
No, I don't think so.
Okay. This is actually Ice's question. He's not here, but here is a question that Ice submitted.
Ice is a hoe.
I mean, just some he is. What kind of sensei / teacher would you think you would be in? I'm guessing maybe in this realm, or I don't know about just in general, but what kind of sensei or teacher would you be? I'll go first for this question. Man, I feel like I would be slightly like Gojo and Namine. What's his first name?
Kento.
So Kento and Gojo, I think I'd be a mashup of both of them, because I'm going to definitely want to be giving a bunch of information and telling you. But then I want you to get that real world experience. I'm not going to push you off like a child. I'm like, yo, you got to get in here and get this work in, bro. Like, this is the only way for you to be the best. You know what I'm saying? It's like to put that work in firsthand. And then I'm going to also be a jokester. I mean, there's a lot of times you see Gojo, bro. He's, I don't know if you watched, I think it was the end of this episode. Yeah, I think it was the end of this episode. I don't know if you guys watched it at the end or not, but you know, did you guys watch it at the end?
Yeah.
Yeah, he sent him like a fucking dick pic or whatever, pretty much. It was just like, he was like, I would be a fun teacher also. So I would think I would be a good mashup of both of them. Brennan? And you don't gotta choose between them. You can just say what type of style you would be.
I think I would actually be, I mean, I already work with kids sometimes. I really enjoy doing it. So I kind of already have, I love to teach, to be honest, like the end of my life. You know, as I get into my twilight years, I want to be like a college professor along those lines, because I'm a huge fan of giving back, because we can't take it with us. And so for me, I would say that like, if I was to be teaching like sword skills or something along these lines, or like powers, and I think I would be like, if you remember, in Demon Slayer, the sensei that taught him the water sword method shit, 100% that, like, you know, he was very hands-on. He obviously cared a lot and he was a good teacher, but he also put them through the fire and flame to be able to make sure they're protected. So I think that's kind of like where I would be, is like on that line. It's like, I'm fun with you. We're going to do it, but this is not going to be easy. Like, literally nothing about this is going to be easy. I'm going to put you in situations harder than situations that I hope you'll ever have to encounter. So you'll be ready for whatever you encounter. Nice. And I'm going to be there to support you and make sure it stays safe. So that's the kind of sensei I would want to be.
Rob.
I feel like my favorite character has changed every week with the show, and my favorite character this week is definitely Kento. I see a lot of myself in that dude.
Oh yeah,
just as far as like
thought that.
I think I would be very much in his style, like where, and I think I'm like this as a person where sometimes I can like hold people a little bit at arm's length and then like, all right, you're cool. Like I can see like you're with it and like, I'll open up to you and like teach you and like bring you in. But like, I definitely feel like I'm more on his vibe, as like a teacher. I did do a little bit of teaching and it for me, like I've said on the show, like, I'm not a big fan of kids. Like it was for me, like I was just like, what did I sign up for this? But you know, honestly, I ended up having a great time. You know, it was just like a little summer camp where they like made short films or whatever. And I had a really good experience with them, but you know, it was something where at first I was just like, all right, like these are kids. And you know, like I got to make sure like, you know, I'm in charge here. But by the end of it, we were all just having fun. It was a good time.
Yeah. Sincere.
For sure. Yeah. I mean, just based off, you know, to keep it in like the realm of the episode, like Kento versus Gojo, you know, like I think Kento is probably like the better teacher, just because of like that experience that, you know, Yuji had with him, like the hands-on. I think I would like to be a very hands-on teacher where it's like, I'm going to show you like the experience, you know, right here. But I also respect like the bond that Gojo creates with the students, you know, because Kento didn't really do that. You know, he's like, I'm here to teach you. And that's what I'm going to do. You know, I don't care if you like me or not. But I also, you know, like having that connection with your sensei or teacher, I think is important. And I think it will yield better results, in my opinion. So that's the kind of teacher, like, you know, teaching through experience, but also having that connection with the student.
Yeah, I feel like when you're kind of like Kento, it can also be a little bit distance. So like there's like you feel like your teacher might not like you either. So you might not even want to go all the way there to even reach your potential. All right, next question. Out of the Jujutsu sorcerers we have seen so far, whose ability would you like to have, not including Gojo, because everybody's going to go to Gojo first, of course. So you can't choose Gojo out of this. Sincere.
Yeah. So when I made that question, I feel like I was thinking ahead because, you know, I've already finished the series, but I'm gonna just keep it, you know, up to 12.
Keep it contained.
I don't wanna so out of, you know, because you haven't seen, I think even at this point you haven't even seen the second year like upperclassmen's abilities.
Seen yet? A little bit of them.
Okay, yeah. So I guess out of here, I would probably just say Megumi, just because, I don't know, he has a lot of options, especially with how many monsters he has tamed. It makes every fight like instantly into like a 2v1, 3v1. So I think it's just like, I don't know, very adaptable, very cool abilities he got.
Yeah, definitely.
I don't think anybody's going to pick this person. Maybe they will. And I'm sure my answer will change down the line. But I can't remember her name. But the girl, out of the three, the main girl.
Oh, Nobara?
Nobara, yeah. I would choose her because once I saw her make a voodoo doll, bruh, like at the end of the day, I'm just going to hide behind a corner, stitch a little voodoo doll, put a nail through your heart, and then it's a wrap. I won. Like, and you don't ever have to even see me. I can long distance you. I can do anything I need to do. I can see you, make a voodoo doll, stab you up, twist your neck, twist your head. It's game over. Like, go ahead.
With her thing, though, is like you have to have a piece of them, or like you have to have something to represent them.
Oh, yeah, so, like, she had to have that dude's arm.
And that's how normally when I've seen voodoo kind of work, you got to get a piece of strand or something. Yeah. Hey, man, I'll dress up. Sorry, I bump into you.
You'd be like a private investigator or something.
Hey, man, my head is for some reason. Oh, okay. And all of a sudden, it's over.
That is so optimistic of you. Like, I would love, or, I wonder how that would work. I wonder how that would work against this guy. How would that work against this guy?
Or I'll pay somebody to walk by you or something like that. You know what I'm saying? It won't necessarily be me. Or, you know, you disguise yourself. It don't necessarily got to be anything like that. And she made a doll fast. So as soon as I bumped him, like, he'd be like, hey, you son of a bitch, I'm going to incinerate you. I already made that doll. Like, ah! While I'm burning, I'll be 53 burns up to my neck. But I'll be like, ah, I got him. So I'm cool. Brennan?
So does this guy count as a jujitsu sorcerer?
No, he's a curse.
He's a curse. Yeah.
Okay. I would say then I would take the principal of the school.
That's a good one.
I think his his powers are pretty dope, because being able to animate the unanimated or the dead is a very, very, very powerful. We don't know the extent of his power yet, like how many things he can animate at once or whatever. Mm-hmm. But like, if he's dope and he's very powerful, either he's going to be animate a small amount of things that are excessively powerful. I wonder, you know, like, the thing is, you could, like, I don't know how far your imagination could take it, but that's one of my favorite things about shows like this, or shows like My Hero Academia, is like with quirks. Like, they give you one little quirk and you're like, that's not too powerful. He can just transfer himself through stuff, and then Lumillion kicks everybody's ass because he learned how to use this so well. So, I mean, for me, it's like, can I animate clothes? You know what I'm saying? Can I make it so that whatever outfit I'm wearing makes me into a superhuman in that moment? Like, can
kill
I
kill the kill
you
know type saying? Shit, bro? Now you kill the kill. Say?
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. Like that, or, you know, or can I make an entire army where I have literally a horde of a million different beasts that follow me everywhere I go in brigades? Like it could be whatever, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it could be these hands on site in a lot of different ways, depending on the extent of the power. So I'd say that one is one of the most interesting powers, and I'll take that.
Rob.
I'm going to pick somebody we actually haven't seen too much of yet. And I think this is Panda, actually what Panda, I was Panda. Talking Panda. A little bit, not Panda, but actually, Toge, the other second year, who has the, cursed speech. We've only seen a little bit of that so far, but when he went up against, that third year from the Kyoto school, and he just was like, pulled down his little scarf or whatever. It was just like, stop moving. And he had to like, he's compelled to stop. Like, that seems super cool. I can't wait for that dude to come back.
Like, that's that pick that you just said is what Sincere's pick would have been if he thought we knew about that.
No, yeah. I probably.
You see how excited Sincere was while you were over the top of the team? Like, yeah,
him. He's dope. Like, honestly, like, he's kind of like one of my favorite characters. I mean, like,
I can totally see that.
It makes sense, so. Sincere. It's the one you're most like. Like, I'm not going to talk until I have something.
I really like how he's just like salmon, rice. That's so cool.
Yeah. No, he's super dope. And I think he could end up being really powerful with that technique. So it could be really cool.
Yeah. All right. Next question. So we talked about like fear and stuff like that. Mahito explained that if enough people fear something, even fictional monsters and villains, they could become real curses. Which monsters or horror villains do you think will make the worst kind of curse? Brennan, do your best. Rob first. So we know Brennan's not a horror person. He's about to scare movies like that.
I don't watch horror movies.
So
you call it what you want. I just, again, I told you my beliefs about vibes and about energy, and I don't see anything positive coming out of finding experiences like that. And I told you guys,
you know what's funny?
Well,
I was going to say, my girl's the same way. That's why she don't watch a lot of scary movies. It's very very similar in your vein. I get it.
Yeah. I already made my argument on here before about how stupid I think going after like haunted houses or going to scary places like that is, because there's no win. But we can, that's neither here nor there. Yeah, like, there's literally no way to win that experience. But go ahead, Rob. Explain yourself.
Well, I'm going to pick some low-hanging fruit, because I feel like this character would fit in very well as a curse on the show. Pennywise, the dancing clown, he is the embodiment of fear and, like, preys on the fear of kids. And the fact that, like, kids can see him, but adults can't. I think that's, like, such a, like, creepy, like, boogeyman sort of character that absolutely, you know, would fit in this world. And even the fact that he can, like, change his shape and appearance, like, based on what you fear the most. Like, I feel like, you know, that's something that absolutely would fit in this world, would be something that these kind of sorcerers would fight. And I wouldn't be surprised, you know, if we see some of these like horror movie, you know, type characters show up here.
Yeah, that's a great answer. I thought you might have been going to pick mine, but I would have to go. The guy that fucked me up for my whole life was Freddy Krueger. Like, you know, him just getting you in your dreams. Now either you being afraid of him or being afraid to go to sleep or anything like that. It's like, bro, this dude is going to terrorize you. I can see that. I don't know if anime has had that before. I'm sure they have. But just a villain like that, like to where you can't even fucking sleep, where that's where he gets you. Bro, that's crazy. Like, I don't care what you can, you know, manifest in your dream. This person has probably mastered it. You haven't. So, Freddy Krueger is my pick. Sincere?
Yeah. I mean, I can't really think of any, like villains, because, you know, I haven't watched that many horror movies in my life. But not because I don't like them. I just haven't watched many. But I don't know. Like, my mind just keeps going to, like, Slenderman. Just, like, I don't know. Just the way he looks. And just kind of, I think, like, the whole, like, because he spawned from, like, an internet little like copy pasta, creepy pasta thing. So I feel like that kind of fits in like the realm of like curses of like just, you know, a general fear of something. So I don't know. Absolutely. That's just what my mind goes to first.
Didn't even like two girls like kill some classmate or something of theirs in real life because of like they were trying to do something with Slender Man? Like that's kind of what we're talking about. Yeah, like this is a Yeah,
it's kind of based off like the whole idea of curses. Like Slender Man definitely fits there.
Oh shit. I didn't even know about that. I'm like, whoa, wait a second.
People are crazy, man.
Brennan, what you got, man? What were you able to dig up? We gave you extra time.
I got two.
Okay.
So one of them is more funny. The other one is more serious. Which one y'all want first?
Go serious first and funny second. Yeah.
Right, exactly what I was thinking.
If you haven't seen the movie The Ring, I've seen it. And the girl that crossed through the televisions is pretty much exactly an embodiment of a curse. Like, she shows up to places that people are having issues with from a place of terror and does terrible things to them. So 100% a curse. The funny answer is, just remembering my childhood and the things that scared me the most, I would say Falcor. Holy crap, I was like, Falcor is one of the most terrifying things of all time. See, the thing
from
is,
never ending story?
Like, it was like sincere, literally looking at Falcor. It's the big white dragon from the never ending story. That movie was terrifying. That stupid dragon was terrifying. I don't care what y'all say. Like, I was watching that junk. I was like, why? Why is he on this thing that's supposed to eat him? I just hated that thing. So I'd say Falcor just is a creature of nightmares.
I get that.
I'm just saying, I was like 3 years old when I saw that shit the first time. And I was like, that dragon, if you watch, look, it looks funny in a picture, but watch him talk. That's when it's terrifying. The way his jaw moves, I was just like,
he is creepy.
It's very weird.
Were you scared like as a kid? Were you screaming as a kid when you watching that, Brennan?
No, man, I wasn't screaming. Like, I just wouldn't watch the movie. Like, people would start watching it, would come on, and I would just get so uncomfortable watching that stupid dragon. I'm like, I'm gonna go do something else. Like, this ain't doing it for me. I didn't even care about the story. It just made me uncomfortable. I was like, I don't like this. I don't like this dragon thing here.
All right,
I get it.
Next question. So in all the anime that we've seen, we've seen a bunch. Characters almost always reveal their technique. Oh, you know what I'm gonna do next? The first thing I'm gonna do is do this, and after that, I'm gonna do this. Kento, I think his name's Kento, but I just put nominee. Finally gave the reason why. Do you agree with that revealing a technique to your opponent gives you an advantage? And would you be willing to reveal a technique if you were going against an opponent? I think this is an interesting question. I think this is an interesting perspective too. I think if you are a master of your craft, it doesn't matter. Like, if I'm a master of what I'm about to do to you or the techniques that I have, it's like I can tell you what you're going to do and what I'm going to do. And I already have all the counters of how you're going to try to go about it. I'm going to still kill you. It doesn't matter what I tell you. I'm so dope at this shit. Well, I can just do this. I prepared for that already, bro. So I'm going to just do this now. Saying that, would I use that? No, I think I would just be like, no, I'm not going to tell you. I that's how I want to destroy you. I don't think my arrogance is like that. I don't come across as like an arrogant person like that. So I'm not going to tell you what I'm going to do to you. I know people out there like, yeah, I'm going to do this to you, and then I'm going to do that to you, and then you're just going to have to take it regardless. That's actually kind of scary because you can't stop it. But I personally wouldn't reveal my technique. I would just be like, all right, this motherfucker going to learn today. I'm going to keep it a secret because if they somehow escape, I don't want it to ever even get out. But oh, this is what he does. And now everybody else can prepare for it. Nah, we good. Rob?
No, I totally agree. I would not. I think I can see it being an advantage, you know, as far as like a psychological type warfare of just like kind of like what you were just saying, like if somebody's so confident, they're like, this is what I'm going to do to you. And like if you already know you're outmatched and you're just like, oh, shit, like here it comes. I could see that being like sort of a psychological advantage. But personally, I wouldn't. I for everything you just said, like I want to keep it a surprise. I don't want that getting out. I don't necessarily want people devising ways, like getting some kind of scouting report and figuring it out like before we even get there. You know what I mean? So personally, I think it's a little bit cocky. It can be a little bit arrogant. I can see it working for some people, but that would not be my speed.
Yeah, I'll be like hit from Dragon Ball Super. Like, you don't know shit. You don't know what I do. You might know when I'm fighting you at that point, but I want to be like an assassin. Take you out, get you in and out of there. Sincere?
Yep.
I'm not revealing, Beth. Like, even if I know I'm about to just, like, dismantle this dude, Like, I'm not going to reveal it. Just because, like, you know, keep them on their toes. They'll know what to expect, you know, especially if I'm, like, holding back. Like, you know, Kento was, like, he wasn't in overtime yet when he was fighting Mojito. But, like, and so, like, he didn't really reveal that he had, like, this extra cursed energy. And I don't know. I would kind of act like that same way. Just, like, I don't want to give him any sort of insight into, like, what I can do. Because, you know, certain people can find, like, that perfect, just, like, you know, analyze it.
I really wish you did the opposite, Sincere, because you are the person that doesn't speak a lot. So if you were just like, hey, this is what I'm going to do to you. I'm going to destroy. I'm going to do this and this and that. And you're not going to do anything about it.
That would be terrifying.
Sincere, I'm going to actually disconnect each one of the tendons in your body.
Yep.
So that you can just be limp as I beat you senseless. Like, oh, wow.
It's like, that would actually be terrifying.
And then I can see him apologizing after he's done with you. I'm so sorry that I did this to you, but it had to be done.
I probably would. I probably would.
That's even worse. Don't apologize.
They don't apologize, bro.
I know.
There's a lot of variables in this question for me that make it hard to answer, mostly because it's like, is this a fight to the death? Because if I'm fighting somebody to the death, then no, I don't care. Like, you're not going to, like, there's no reason that, like, only thing that feeds is your ego at that point. And if I'm going to kill you, I don't personally believe you'd necessarily take all these memories with you anyway into the afterlife. So I don't care. I don't really care. Like, I'm just going to kill you. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's over. Like, I'm going to kill you as quickly and efficiently as I can. And I'm going to give you as little opportunity as you can to hurt me. I'm not going to have any long out speeches. I'm not going to have anything. I'm going to kill you very quickly. Like, bloop, you're dead. And that's it. Like, maybe I'll talk shit to your corpse. Who knows? But otherwise,
Brennan is our person. Brennan doesn't know that. Stop talking shit. Brennan talks shit until he finishes talking shit. That's how I go with video games, everything. So Brennan,
your thing is like. No, I'm just saying. So I actually that raises another point. Depending on what type of power you have, it can be advantageous to give people knowledge about what you do, or for me, more likely is to mislead, you know, say it's like, this is what my power is when it's not that, you know, that kind of thing is something I would probably do, is make you think you're understanding what you're seeing, but make sure you don't. But I also, I'm a huge fan of, you know, psychological warfare, as anybody will know who plays anything with me or competes with me, is that you won't hear me because, and it's not just, I do enjoy talking shit, but I'm also doing more than that. You know, it's like, if you're fully locked in and focused on what you're doing against me, that means that you're not, that means you're at your best. And like, I do want you at your best, but I want to win more, is the point. And if I can talk shit to you and take you even 5% off your game, then understand I'm bringing that 5% too.
I don't understand how people rarely pick it up with Brennan. I always see what Brennan's doing with that, and it gets under people's skin. And I'm just like, how are they just letting this happen to them?
I've completely disassembled people before in competition, where it's just like, after the competition, I actually had to apologize to them. I was like, hey, look, I didn't know. I'm sorry. Like, I didn't know it was going to go this far. Like, I didn't know you were going to fall apart to this point. Like, that wasn't personal. Like, I just really wanted to win. Like, you know, like, damn. Like, it happened to one of my cousins, man. Like, we were playing, like, Flip Cup. You ever play that game where you have to flip the cup, like, from, like, its regular sitting cup position to its open mouth cup position in one solid movement on the edge of a table? And I complete, like, it was so bad. I dismantled him so bad that every time this relay race got to him, like, the game ended there, because my shit talking, he couldn't flip the cup. He just completely fell apart. And I'm just like, that's why you ain't shit. Nah, nah, nah. He couldn't do it.
I will say, I don't think Brennan's ever done that to me, but his dad has. We played a game of pool and his dad just like picked me apart. And like, he found me later. He's like, hey man, it's nothing personal. I'm like, I know. I know. But he absolutely
destroyed. You know what I'm saying?
Like, it is the bloodline is strong. It absolutely, it's right there.
Yeah, Keenan, my dad will pick you apart. Talking to John. He was trying to pick me apart while we were playing table tennis. Like, he comes hard for you too. Like, my dad, he'll go right for the jugular.
Hey, I grew up with a dude named Corey Baker. He's a juggler goer every single moment. I'm prepared for it. And I feel like if I'm outmatched, I'm outmatched at something too. It's something that at table tennis, I'm not going to beat your dad. So I'm not going to sit there and even allow you talking to get to me. So even probably you too. I'm not the best at it. But if it's like a certain game,
ain't no probably, sir.
Oh, here we go. Here we go.
It's already started. It's already started.
I'm saying, okay, ask Rob. Do you think that I can beat Keenan with my left hand?
I'm sorry to do this to you, Keenan. He probably could. I've seen him do it to people before.
I don't play table tennis. He's played a lot. Last time I played was a few months ago when we had a show in Arizona, and I actually had to whip Janelle's ass in it real bad. And my confidence was up. If you would have played me that day, I don't know. But, you know, anyways, next question. Let's get into the next question. Brennan,
check this out. You could also get this work since you're in table tennis.
Hey, man. Look.
At the new studio, put one up, bro. At the new studio, put one up, man. All right, next question. What are your tiny despairs? We talk about Kento was talking about things that make you an adult, and he was kind of telling Yuji, yo, bro, you're a kid still. This is why I have to be this way. You're not an adult yet. You haven't gotten here yet. So what are some tiny despairs that make or made you an adult, Brennan?
There's so many. I would say the first one is just responsibility in general. It's just like you are held responsible for everything now. And it's like you direct your consequences for a very small action can last for years. That for me is just a lot. That first time that happened to me is like, I think I got my first speeding ticket or something like that. And I was just like, this isn't a big deal. And it's like, oh, you got a point on your license or something like that. Now all your insurance goes up for this long, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, I just went 7 miles over the speed limit one time. I have to pay thousands of dollars over the course of years now? Yeah, that's how it works, adult. Whereas in a kid, you know, when you're a kid, there aren't any real life consequences. Like you get in trouble, but it's just like the trouble ends at your household doorstep for the most part.
Yeah.
You know, but you know, like after you're an adult, like that's done. And also like eating, you know what I'm saying? As a kid, you're just like, I want to eat the sugar, the sweets, I want to eat all these things. And as an adult, we can do that now. You can go to the store, buy whatever you want. You know, look, there you go. You can eat whatever you want to eat as an adult. But it is not worth it normally. It's not worth it. You feel things. One of my time despairs is that you can, as an adult, it's sincere, you're going to learn this. As you get older, I personally have the belief that it's not so much that your body starts to deteriorate immediately, because I'm not old enough for that yet. But I think you can start to feel more of your body in ways that you haven't felt it before. Like you can feel everything now, as before you just didn't even feel it. You know, it's just like you eat something, you're like, whatever, I ate it. You know, it comes out. Like now you eat it and you're like, oh wow, like there's a fog in my brain from the thing I ate, or I haven't drank enough water today because I can feel it this way. Woo! You can just feel it. Water. You know what I'm saying? And I was just like, wow. You know, water is a big deal. That's a big
water's
one.
Water's a big fucking deal.
I like everybody's looking for their water. As I say,
gallon a day. Gallon a day.
Yeah.
So, but yes, that's my despair.
Rock.
Apart from a gallon a day, to borrow another Tony Bakerism, man, that rent comes due every month. Every month. There's no month off. Bills and rent, I remember as a kid, you're just, I can't wait to be an adult. You can do whatever you want. And it's just like, I mean, kind of like what Brennan was saying, to a degree, you could do whatever you want, to a degree, but you got to keep a roof over your head. You got to figure out what to eat every day. Nobody's just like, all right, this is what you're having for dinner. You got to cook that, or you got to eat out. And that's expensive and probably is going to impact your health. There are so many, but for me, rent every month at the first, that one hits hard. Every time it's just like, when you see that coming on the calendar, it's like, ah, shit. You know, every time.
I want to stay away from what Rob said. That was mine's bills, which
did you not just feel what Rob said to your core though?
We just paid rent. We had went for the whole rent assistance at one point when the pandemic hit, and we actually got approved, but these motherfuckers never got it. They never took it out of our thing so we can get it to help us out. So we were pissed off. So,
oh my God. Bro,
yes. And even, I mean, I think Brennan and Rob hit on some good things. The same thing. I hit around 30, 31. And when I started eating certain things, I was like, holy shit. I used to be able to eat a donut, play 11 games of basketball, full speed, lose no energy, good to go when I was under 18. Even probably to about 21. And then something just hit, was just like, bro. If you don't stretch,
yes, you don't stretching, stretch, holy shit.
We went on a walk yesterday, bro, and my back was like, yeah, bro, you got about 5 more minutes of this walk to get the fuck home. That was walking. That's walking, dog. So I guess for my tiny despair, I would say, I don't know if this is fully one, but like, I guess like going, like knowing that you have to go for what you're going for and go all in the sense of like, I guess your goal or your dream or whatever the case may be. As a kid, you can dream about 25 different things. I'm like, okay, that's that. Okay, that's that. At a certain age, you don't have time to just have like 45 different dreams and go for all that shit because you have, like you said, responsibilities. So it's like you got to focus. It's like as an adult, there's no more fun in games. You have to buckle down and lock in and be consistent. If you're not, shit is going to fall apart. Your life is going to fall apart. As a kid, you don't have to be consistent. You have normally two other parents, hopefully, unless you're a single, you know, grow up in a single household like I did. It's like you have one person that probably is going to let you fall on when you're not consistent and help you get consistent again. Or you don't have to be consistent until you're 18. And then when you leave on your own, you just got to start to be. It can fuck you up for life. So I guess, said so many things. Consistency. Yes, mom. Sincere.
Yeah, so I'm 19. So,
so I'm 19. I'm at my mama's house right now. Yeah, like
Bill, I just got a job a year ago.
So like the only thing I'm paying for is like Spotify Premium. So like... I've only been an adult for like a year, like legally under the law. I don't feel like an adult, you know, so it's like, but I will
You'll
say
find some, yeah.
that like waiting at the DMV sucks, bro. Yeah. That was the worst. And like, you know, the responsibility stuff that also, you know, is not fun at all. You know, filling out like
you don't know anything about.
I know,
you don't even
but
know
like,
it yet, bro.
Just
I'm
so far,
it.
Like yeah. My mom told me I got to start doing my own doctor's appointments, my own dentist appointments. I was like,
welcome,
no way.
Welcome,
join us.
So yeah,
actually, the thing is, we're laughing, but I actually remember that those conversations, and you're right, Sincere. That junk. My mom told me that, like, no, you got to do your own thing. Now I was like. But
it's scary. Yeah. That shit is scary, yeah. man.
It is.
I don't know how
it
to is. Do that. Like, don't worry, I'll show you, but I don't want you to. I just want it to happen.
Yeah. Make it happen. Just tell me I got to be there at this day, this time, and I'll be there, but, you know, doing it myself.
Like, yeah, man.
I feel yeah, that. I think I'll settle on, if I have to choose one, the doctor's appointments thing, because...
Yeah, that's actually big. I mean, I'll be honest with you, like, doctors and dentist appointments, like... I wasn't making a lot of those my whole life until somewhat recently. Like, I was every once in a while do like a doctor's appointment because I was just like, I know y'all been on my ass about go to the doctor, Kaden. But like, you know, yeah, man, I that is. And it's scary too to make that appointment. Last question. Would you rather be a character in Jujutsu Kaisen or a character in Demon Slayer? Sincere.
All right. Yeah. So basically when I first thought this question up, I was like, you know, who would you rather fight, like demons or curses? Mm-hmm. But then I just expanded it to the world. But I think I'd rather be a character in Jujutsu Kaisen. I don't know, just because, you know, Tokyo seems fun to live in. Like, no lie. Like, yeah. Have it. And also, I feel like, I mean, before, like, you know, so far what we've seen in, like, Demon Slayer versus Jujutsu Kaisen, like, there's more, like, techniques, you know. You can use your cursed energy to do a whole bunch of things. You know, it's like flowing, you know. So, like, I don't know. I just, yeah, I feel like Jujutsu Kaisen, there's, like, a lot of, like, you know, intricacies with the cursed energy that you can, like, use. And, you know, living in Tokyo seems fun. So that's my answer.
Mm. Brennan.
I don't want to live in either one of these worlds. To be fully honest, like they yeah, both suck. Demons are curses. Yeah, like tough. Either it's way, tough. You're fucked. Like both of the deaths you get from these are horrible. You saw Tanjiro's family got slaughtered, and when his sister got turned into a demon, like what? And so then these curses, like the dude touches. You know, I know. I'm just saying, like. I guess I'll take Tokyo too, because it's just like I keep my video games. You know what I'm saying? In the internet. Like, that's it. That's the reason. It's like I still keep all my creature comforts. I don't have to go to Edo period Japan and live with demons versus living in modern day Japan. You know what I'm saying? Like I'm here for that. I'll take modernization evil over, you know, sleeping outside, doodling in a hole like demons all day.
Yeah. I mean, I would say as of right now.
I'm sorry, one quick question. I apologize, Kenan.
Go ahead.
Any of you guys ever had to shit in a hole before? Dig a hole and shit in it? Have you ever had to do that before?
No.
All right, just wondering.
So, you sound like you have, Brandon.
Many times, unfortunately.
That sounds terrible.
It's not fun. I do not recommend it.
Bugs, it's a hard pass crawling
on you.
Come on. Nah, bro, it's a squat. It's a squat.
Oh, that's terrible. Yeah, my legs ain't built for it right now. I do on the other body. I would have to say Jujutsu Kaisen here's a few reasons. Brennan hasn't read Demon Slayer like that. I have. Rob has. I don't know if Sincere has.
No, I haven't.
And these upper moons are the fucking truth. There's no joke about them. As of right now, I haven't seen any enemy in Jujutsu Kaisen that I'm like, okay. They a beast. In Demon Slayer, Rob knows there's no game to be played. That's one. Two, in Demon Slayer, I feel like you're also limited. Like kind of like what Sincere said, you got a different extent of your power, your Jujutsu Kaisen. I feel like in Demon Slayer, you lose your sword, it's or your weapon, it's damn near a wrap for you. It's not much that you have left to do. Whereas these guys, they have a whole thing they can probably build from and expand on their powers. I don't want to keep going about it because I don't want to take anything that Rob says. But those are my main things. It's just some of the characters in Demon Slayer, bro. Like, I don't want no problems with those guys. Like, I don't want no fucking smoke with some of these upper moons. Yeah. I don't want no smoke with them.
So I have a question. Would this guy right here just get destroyed by them?
The upper moons?
Yeah.
Oh, dog, it's not even close.
Yeah, probably.
It's not even close, bro. You don't, Brennan, you're going to see. You're going to see during this movie, when this movie finally comes out, supposedly this month, you're going to see these upper moons are the real deal, Holyfield. Rob.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to make it a clean sweep, Jujutsu Kaisen, for a lot. I mean, for pretty much the same reasons, you know, creature come first, living in Tokyo. But even on top of that, like, if I get admitted into Jujutsu High, like, they have a much more rigorous, like, acceptance program. Like, if I make it in, I know, like, okay, I got what it takes to rise to the challenge against these enemies. Even from what we've seen in Demon Slayer Season 1, like, they are just, depending on who taught you, they are just taking anybody. Like, they will just hand you a sword and be like, get up on the hill and see how you do. Like, they will just feed you to the fucking wolves. Whereas in Jujutsu Kaisen, like, I at least feel like, obviously, I know there's some stuff going on with Yuji and some of the higher-ups, like, you know, gunning for him. But, like, a lot of these other students, like, they got support staff. Like, they're trying to make sure you're good to go. Like, they got, you know, alumni coming in and, like, bringing you around. Like, Demon Slayer, they put a sword in those kids' hand and they said, go get them. Like, no fucking way. No way. Yeah, I would absolutely take Jujutsu Kaisen every time. 10 times out of 10.
You're going to see that they're not even prepared. They did not prepare them for these upper moons, bro. They're not fucking prepared for this shit. And it's sad. It is sad, bro.
All right, Keenan.
I didn't say anything. All I said is they're not
You're
prepared.
Saying enough. You said enough, I think.
Okay. All right, that's the end of the question portion of the show. We're going to give our likes, our likes and dislikes, and then our overall score out of 9,000. So we'll go with you first, man. We'll go with you first, Sincere. How do you feel? What was your likes and your dislikes? They don't got to be super extensive. And then what was your overall score of these four episodes? I'm sorry, 9 to 12.
Yeah. I like these episodes because, you know, I think I told Keenan before I liked every episode in this season, and I think what I like about these four is, you know, we got to, you know, see more of Kento, you know, see what more he can do. And I think that was really cool. Also, I think I just like just seeing kind of like a more direct effect of kind of like the curse's impact on like regular people, or like, you know, how they can affect regular people, like how we saw with Junpei. And just kind of like the horror that it can bring to just regular everyday people. We also I liked kind of like the building on cursed energy and like what it kind of is and like souls and stuff like that. They built some more on that, but also kind of branching off that, that's kind of like one of my dislikes was it was a little like, you know, slower. I feel like Junpei, like just because he kind of like died, I don't know. I was expecting more from him. You know what I mean?
They kind of set him up a little bit.
Yeah, they set him up. And, like, he was, like, in the intro, like, you know, laughing with Yuji. So I thought he's going to become a student. So I was expecting more from him. And also just kind of, like, yeah, there was some points when Mahito was talking where I just didn't really understand exactly what he was saying.
Yeah.
But, you know, after a rewatch, I kind of got more of a understanding of that. But, yeah.
The score? At 9,000.
Oh, my score, yeah. I'll say off these episodes, well, how intricate do you guys make your scores? Like,
it's like, it goes anything, any 100 ranking. So it could be like 5,500 or 6,500.
Yeah.
You know, 9,000 would be a 10 out of 10. So you just got to imagine the scale goes back one than it normally does.
Okay, yeah. So I'd say these four episodes, I'll probably do 7,500.
Okay. Yeah, he got it.
Solid.
He got it.
Solid. Yeah. Solid.
Brennan?
I think I'm pretty similar to Sincere on this. I think that my favorite is actually that little character arc. What's his name again?
Kento?
Who died? Kento. Oh, I really like...
Not Kento. That's Kento.
Kento.
He was a teacher.
Junpei.
Yeah,
Junpei. I like his character arc. It was very sad, but I also like that there's death in the show. I always value death in an anime because if nobody can ever die, then there's no real stakes. You know, that's one of the biggest marks that I have on My Hero Academia is nobody dies. You know, except for what's his name, All Might's old guy or whatever. Somebody needs to die,
and that was sad as hell. That was sad.
It was sad as hell, but it's like out of four or five seasons, one person's died. You know what I'm saying? And it was like of natural causes, kind of like, you know.
Died.
Who?
Night Eye.
Night Eye.
Yeah, that's it. That's what I'm talking about. Night Eye. Night Eye died. Yeah, he died from that fight.
He didn't die in natural causes. He got stabbed up like a bunch of times.
Yeah. Natural causes.
But my point being is like Night Eye also got introduced in the same season he died in.
Yeah, you know? I hear that.
You know, and it's like the fourth season before somebody died. But for me, I'm like, I'm happy that we're seeing that it's possible for death to occur in the first season. I think that Junpei's character arc was dope. But on the other side of it, that's one of my least favorite things is that I think it could have been way doper. I think if he became a sorcerer and then had that conflict of interest and, you know, that changing of heart thing, you know, that happens in a lot of these anime that are like this, of like, you know, having those moments of climax or whatever. I think that it could have been better, but at the same time, not a big mark on that. I really enjoyed these four episodes. Last week, I gave it 8,200. I'm just going to say it did slow down a little bit this week for me, but it did end on an extremely serious cliffhanger. Where I'm just like, yo, like it was right. One of the hardest experiences I've had not continuing watching. So I'm going to say it stays pretty steady. I'm actually going to bring it down just a little bit and call it 8,100.
Oh, okay. Rob.
Yeah, I like this episode, stretch episodes a lot. Felt like a little mini movie, you know, where we got to meet Kento and Junpei and like kind of see those characters get introduced and fleshed out over the course of these four episodes where we didn't even see a lot of these characters that we've met. Like we see maybe a couple like a flash of like Nobara and Megumi and what they're up to. And like, that's it. But I think it shows the strength of the show and their characters that, you know, they can keep doing that, keep bringing in new people. And I'm like, I like this dude too, or I like that guy. And I find this interesting. And I think that's the show's greatest strength, is the characters. Sincere mentioned it earlier too. I think the animation's really cool. I love the change up in the styles, especially like, you know, when they bring in the cursed energy, that like much rougher, like thicker line style is really cool. With Yuji's cursed energy, and you know, when he got really mad going into that black and white was really dope and impactful, I thought. For dislikes, I mean, I don't know, I'm just to be nitpicky, I think Junpei needed to be nicer to his mom, you know. I thought he was way too hard on her. Like, yeah, you know, parents can be embarrassing, you know, maybe she has a little bit to drink at night, but she's a single mom, she's working hard, she's not like making a bad life for him, she seems like she's trying her best. It's been a really fun show to watch. I'm more hyped for these next four episodes than I have, I think, for any other stretch that we've had coming up. So I'm excited to get into it. I'm going to give it an 8,000.
I honestly was not expecting Rob's to be at 8,000. I was expecting,
yeah.
Rob actually took exactly what I was going to say about the show's characters. At first, my least favorite part was going to be, where's Gojo? Where's my guys that I like? Where's my favorite characters in this show? And then I think by the second episode, I was like, damn, this show is strong. Like, I'm not tripping on him not being here. So Rob put it perfectly. This show, man, is just, it just keeps me interested. All the characters, this is some of the best you know, bringing in the characters, and I'm not like, I don't care. I didn't have necessarily an issue with, was it Junpei or whatever, not having, not joining the school and joining them, because I'm just like, all right, bro, I still want to see these other characters, to be honest with you. I wasn't tripping on him joining the school or not, but I did want to see him get off, though. I wanted to see him possibly become a main villain, maybe. And that would have been super dope, and he's stuck in there. So that was kind of like, I guess, my dislike. It's funny, Rob was like, you know, he should have been nice to his mom. It's like, bro, the anime parents are trash. You had one that wasn't the best because he's an alcoholic. But dog, she didn't beat you.
It's not the worst by a long stretch.
Oh, man. Dog, she's probably considered a top tier parent in anime, even though she's an alcoholic. That says a fucking a lot. That's terrible, but that says a lot. I guess the thing I disliked the most was, I think the pacing was a little bit slower. So that's if I had a nitpick too, it would be the pacing really of these four. It was a little bit slower than it was. I forgot what I gave the last four. I think I gave it an 8,000s also. I would give this one a 7,900. Still super high. Ison sent his scores in for me. So I don't have what Ice has. But yeah, 7,900. That's my score.
Solid.
So yeah, that's the end of that. Question portion of the show was done. Our overall scores is done. Ison give his scores in. So what do y'all think in the comment section, man? What do y'all think in the comment section about these questions?
Let us know.
And also always remember, we're the greatest fucking anime podcast.
The disappointment in Brennan's face, you know, right, funny? Now.
I saw Brennan when I was in Ice name. Brennan was like this.
No, the thing is, I had to think about it because
you're muted. I can't hear you. You're muted.
No, I had to think about it because if I pulled these off, then the sound plays from the computer and then it goes into my, you know what I'm saying? So like, I didn't.
You'd still hear it
on purpose. Okay. So I just sat here and took it. That's why I was so mad at myself. I'm just like, this is the reason I like plugging headphones. You know what I'm saying? Like, I got these Bluetooth headphones on.
Congratulations. You played yourself.
Congratulations. You played yourself. That's great. So yeah, I want to thank everybody that came. Sincere. Thank you, man.
Thanks for being here, man.
Give us your social media stuff. Go ahead.
Oh, shoot. I mean, I'm really only on Instagram, sincere with two underscores, because sincere is taken. And I hate that. yeah, I mean, what else? I mean, I stream on Twitch occasionally, sincere_. But yeah, that's
What's your game of choice that you be smoking people on?
Overwatch.
Nice.
It's the game I'm the best.
He's on a competitive team for Overwatch, aren't you?
Yeah, that's what I mainly stream is like practice and stuff, just so I can go back to it later. But I sometimes stream for fun as well.
Very cool. Who do you main? Who do you main?
Zenyatta. Anna.
That's my guy. Yes. Zenyatta. Fuck yes. Bro, Zenyatta, love that healer class.
I love that dude, man.
He's great. Love those orbs.
All right. Cash Ice at Ice.at McGowan on everything. Rob?
Yeah. RVDanger44 on Twitter. RVDanger on Instagram.
Brennan?
At Brennan the Best on Instagram.
Keenan Baker on everything. Animation Podcast on everything. SHUN. We will be back in the studio next week, man. I'm so excited. I know the squad's excited. Rob, you going to be there or no? You got to stay.
I will be there. Yep, I'll be there.
Rob's going to be in the studio with us too. Yes, the squad will be in the damn studio next week. Good video. Hopefully. Good backgrounds. Hopefully. Okay, yeah, barring something happens. Don't say that, Brennan. Man, my heart's set,
hey,
bro.
It's my studio, man. I ain't want to promise nothing, bro. Stuff can happen.
That's true. Sometimes some other important stuff might come up. But yeah, so episodes, something due next week. You'll see.
Buffer.
Yeah, my brain's not working right now. Anyway, we'll see you next week on another episode. Oh, man, I made Shun.
And so anime was solved forever.